Okay.
Yes.
All right, Arthur. What's your name?
Joseph Arthur.
When were you born?
29th of December, 1944.
What was the name of your father, Arthur?
Joseph Arthur Monk.
Can you remember when he was born?
No. I weren't born at the time.
Okay. Can you remember what his occupation was?
I worked to work for Lancashire County Council, Civil Engineering.
Okay. So he worked full time?
Yeah.
Was that the job he did most of his life?
Yeah.
Okay. What was the age when he died?
Well, he retired at 65, he died about, he'd be about 70. Died of cancer when he was 70.
Can you recall what year that was?
No, not really.
Okay.
I'm not very good on years, you know, really.
Okay, don't worry.
You're catching me up, you see.
What was the name of your mother, her maiden name?
Lily Flintoff.
Alright.
And there's not many Flintoffs in Preston.
There isn't. Can you remember when she was born?
1901.
Okay. Do you know what age she was when she married your father?
No idea. I know she died on her 94th birthday.
Do you know, when was that?
Carla?
Yeah?
How long have you seen Grandma's been dead?
10 years.
So she was born about 1903.
I think 1903, 1901, I'm not sure,
somewhere like that. Okay. Do you know what her occupation was before she married your father?
Mill, worked at mill. Bank top. Back at ground in Sammons Street.
Did she work there after she married?
Yeah. Oh, she worked there up to me being about 8 or 9 years of age, somewhere like that. Then they shut it down then.
Okay. What was the job there?
It weaving shed. She had about 6 looms or something like that, and they ordered.
Okay. Was cotton work in her family?
Yeah, all sisters. All my aunties did it. All my aunties did it. Her mother worked at Mills off Rubleton Lane. My dad had a cobbler's shop off Rubleton Lane. He made clothes, shoes. Then a few extra bob at night, clog fighting. So, yeah.
So there was a tradition of working in cotton?
Yeah, cotton industry. Yeah. Well, everything impressive. Wasn't
it was, yeah. Did you have any brothers or sisters?
One sister, our Paulie. She's 60, 65.
So I'll come back to your sister later, just very briefly. What about your grandparents? Did they live near you?
Only grandparents I ever knew were my dad's mother, my grandma. And they were born in, they lived in Iowa, and then before I were born, they moved to a place in between Milton Morby and Grantham, a little village called Eaton, down in Lincolnshire, Leicestershire, wherever it is.
Mm.
We lived down there until I was about 3 or 4, then we come back to Preston.
Okay. Why did they move there?
My grandma. My granddad were a bit of a boss at Ironstone. So my dad went to work down there with him. And then as my dad grew up a little bit, he got his little cottage down there, belonging to Ironstone, and sent for his mum and his two sisters from Olivia. Better quality of life in the country, you see.
Right. Okay, so you lived down there for a while?
We left Preston when I were about 1, and then we lived down there for during the war, where the old lady was fricked up. Place getting bombed, I don't know. And then we lived down there till I were about 4, then we come back.
Where did you come back to?
Southbourne Street. That's the house that they bought when we come back, and that's where I lived most of my life. My mother died there.
Describe the house.
2 rooms downstairs. A lean-to at back with shed and tin bath. With a tin bath. Outside toilet. And three Three bedrooms, no bathroom.
Okay. So was it, you got your heating from coal?
Yep, old coal fire, yeah. Yeah. Old, we should keep it side at fire in ovens, you know.
Yeah.
Town gas fireplace with ovens inside.
Yeah.
Stone flies off floor.
So, you said that your father bought it. It wasn't rented.
No, he bought it.
Okay.
£900.
And was that outright, or
no,
you got it on? You got
a
mortgage.
Bit of a mortgage, yeah.
Right. Okay. So there were four people in the house: yourself, your sister, and your mother and your father.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay then. The area that you lived in, Arthur, can you describe it to me? What sort of area was it?
Selborne Street, Frenchwood. It were a pleasant enough area. It were a little bit, nobody had outburned, you know what I mean? We didn't know any rich people. If they were rich people, they were foreigners, you know what I'm saying, don't you? But nobody went with outburned. In them days, everybody helped each other out. You know what I mean? When we used to play out Little Park and go down near the river and all this, like, and on backfields before they built John Fisher's school, it were wild around that area. But at night, in summer's night, when all work were done, they'd all be sat at street in the church, talking across the road, and the Mrs. Taylor's with earphones in, look, sure she don't miss nobody at next street. Nosy bastard. But that's how it used to be. Washing used to be hung out on a Monday morning. And at school holidays, all of a sudden, all mothers would say to kids, "Get this washing down. Dustbin men are here." So you had to take all your washing, of course, and take all the lines down, so they had to go down backs. Hot stuff, Sunday dinner time, you know, leftovers at dinner. There used to be bins at the corner of each back, so they were called pig bins. And everybody used to go down to these bins and empty all the peelings from potatoes, carrots, cabbage, everything. Leftovers for dinners, pig bins. And then a firm used to come round and collect them on a Monday morning. And it was a pig's wool.
Recycling?
Yeah, well, like recycling pigs, right? Mm. Yeah, I suppose it were in them days, aye. Mm. Yeah, they were all cobbled streets from all, don't know, tarmac streets, something like that. In somebody used to come around Corporation with a big tin, a hot jar, fill it up. Then when ain't got that, there used to be a big bubbles come, used to press them. Go home with a frigging handful of tear, get a belt round, look.
So would you say it was a sort of quite a close-knit community?
Oh, yeah. Each street, like when I say street, it was like Selborne Street, and then in the back Ginnells, there were all neighbours, mothers used to come out and talk, put the washing out, so it was like Selborne Street and James Street. You know what I'm saying? Then Roman Road and Bench Road, they were the same, you know. But they were very close knit, yeah. Yeah, they were looked after each other, you know, you had to, don't you?
Yeah. What about everyday things like shopping? Who did that?
Well, there are only corner shops in them days, so my mother, on my own, there was a shop at the corner of Coronation Crescent, little corner shop. She used to get little odds and sods there. Then on Fridays, I used to have to go up Bench Road to Co-op. Used to be a Co-op there. I used to have to go up there, up with shopping bags and all this, with list, and with gum sheets. Do you remember gum sheets?
Don't forget to get me dippy.
Yeah, the butchers, every Co-op had a butchers inside of it. Mm. We sold the stock floors. And the other something things we put money, she shoot up through ceiling, didn't it?
Yeah, it was fascinating for kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's that's essentially that paid for Christmas, didn't it? I think special occasions.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. And you used to have, well, they don't see it now, but you used to have a Christmas club, didn't they? People used to pay them what they could afford.
Yeah.
And at Christmas, they used to say, right, mainly for shopping, not for presents, like for toys, but mainly for, like, you get a turkey and a It's just nice to bait for your breakfast. I used to go knocking off hot plots and put vegetables off table sometimes, me, you know. You know, allotments, top of cinder pad. Me at home, as you go over there with boxes and bags, digging spuds up and taking grapes out of the greenhouse, all sorts of shite, carrots and lot. Oh, Brussels sprouts, all sorts of stuff. We had it to do sometimes. Mm. If fella had been, fella were working away like, and his money were a bit late, and she was scrimping and scraping like. For all this time, because you see, you can never pay any money, she said, but I can back another with. Yeah, okay, out of it. I went to school, well, I'll tell you something now, I went to school one day, and there were blood trickling down the end there. This lad said to us, "Hey, Munchie, said your head bleeding." I said, "I know." "What's great?" I said, "My mother's just chucked a clog at me." "Oh, right." You know what I mean? These days, it'd be a bit, you ain't crying, them days you went out. I've gone up Little Park with a big welt round my neck. She come home from the mill one day, my mother with a big paper bag. "Hey, Munchie," she said, "have a present for you," she said, "I'll teach you." And tackle a cut of two leather straps like that. Three tails at the end, about that long, right? Two of them. I said, "What's that for?" She said, "This is for you. And that one, take it next door but one to O'Marnie's. Tell Nelly I sent it." So I goes in, I said, "Mrs. O'Marnie?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "My mother sent this." "Oh," she said, "I've been waiting for this for a long time, and all the lads were saying." And no matter where they caught you, that's where they hit you. I've gone on a little part like that with me, walked right round my neck. And I said to Jimmy O'Mahony, "Jimmy, I do. What do you fucking think that is there?" But nobody ever bothered burning it. You know what I mean? No. You just scrap your word you could.
Yeah.
Back at legs at not.
So, yeah, that sort of anticipated family discipline.
Oh, what? My dad never hit me. My mother used to say, "What till your dad comes home?" We used to get all that business. "I hear a fella used to come out now." She put paper down in his eyes and shut around like that. And she looked at you now enough, looked enough, bump. And my mother, oh, she disappears me. But all mothers spaced the kids because we were bad bastards. You know what I mean? Gee, we weren't evil like these kids today, muggings and stuff like that. But we're just boys. Mm. Yeah. Putting a few windows in and, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Nicking, what are you calling? Nicking it. Empty bottles from selling house up in London Road and taking them back to the Lion House. Getting returns on bottles. Look, you don't know you'd have supper this much.
What about clothes as a child? You know, did your mother make them herself for you?
No, no, she went, we all, no, we got, we never went, she won't buy second hand clothes for us. A lot of them went to jumble sales. You said a lot of jumble sales at, what do you call it, St Saviour's, which were just round here, St Saviour's School, they always had a jump, and a lot of it were packed with people buying, my mother would never put second hand clothes on me and I pulled his back. She always went uptown and she always bought us new clothes. Always went to school dead smart. So, you know, until, I don't think I remember when Tough Shoes come out, do you remember Tough Shoes with 3 month guarantee? Mm. They wore them out within 3 months to get another pair. Never bought another pair of shoes for about fucking 3 years, mate. She knew she said to me, but it was about 2.5 months, right, you can start playing football with them, kick, charge, and take them back. Look at these soles hanging off, and get another pair. But, no, she never, I won't say we had the best of clothes, but they were always clean. My mother always sent me and I pulling out to school, clean. Make sure we were clean.
Yeah.
Clean your teeth. Wash behind your ears and all that crap. You know what I mean, Bernie? We were all as clean.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a lot of kids were. There were one or two that live around Queen Street and Oxford Street areas where mothers didn't give a shite to be lusher every night with husbands. The kids went to school, they'd pretty woke up. But up this top end they were pretty strict on how the kids a bit was. What is it called? Pride?
Respectability.
Respectability, yes. Mm. Yeah, they were Yeah, like I said, they have now, but...
They have pride and kept themselves
correct.
Clean, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. So, your relationship with your parents, what was it like generally?
Hello. Yeah, you. Yeah, she's washing up for me, washing up kitchen down here. Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, then. Right, listen, I've got this chap here talking to me. I'll ring you back in a bit, eh? All right, sweetie, all right, see you in a bit. Love you.
Hello.
Oh, she is. Yeah, it...
What does she want about me?
I don't know. I couldn't quite make it out because she was a bit dull. Relationships in them days, Bernard, weren't the same as parent-children relationships now. It were mostly, how would I put it? You were coming out at First and Second World War eras, still a lot of respect for your parents, and it would, there were that strictness. You know what it was?
Discipline.
Yeah.
Crack when you didn't
behave yourself. It were a discipline that were slowly but surely waning, Bernard. But you still held your parents in, you know, they were, especially our fella, the man ruled the roost, didn't he? He went out, he was a big breadwinner. Hmm. And, like I say, these days it's like some kids are like the mates with their dad, ain't they? It's all matey, matey, mate. But it weren't in them days. Your dad didn't go out to the street and play with you, put it that way. Hmm. They never went up Ports to play football with you. They come home from work, the tea were on the table, and they sat in that room, you didn't say anything while they were reading the paper. Come Saturday night on radio, Preston North End 2, Wolverhampton Wanderers 2. Yeah. You know what, you had to speak when that wrong. You know what I mean? You knew your place. It were, yeah.
So it was more formal
and
distant.
Yeah,
there wasn't, you know, a real closeness.
Well, no. We still loved our parents and they loved us, but they weren't that.
Yeah.
They weren't that camaraderie like there is today. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. Did you ever go on holiday with them?
Only days. We used to go on days holidays, because mainly it was my mum that used to take me on airport holiday. It were mainly my mother that used to take me in airport, and we used to go to Southport, St. Excited places like Southport, St. Anne's, Knott End, Fleetwood. We never go to Blackpool because it was too us-buzz for Blackpool when we were kids, and we didn't do as we were told anymore, so. But we used to go to places like that, you know, Cleveland, you know, where there were three people a year and all that crap. But yeah, we never had weeks away. Of course, they couldn't afford it, I don't suppose. Mm. They fell in used to come every now and then, we used, you know, I might have an odd day off to take us to St. Anne's or somewhere like that, and he used to sit there, in deck chair, reading fucking paper. Hey, here's a shilling, go get some fucking ice cream and leave me alone. Worked outside all his life, sat there with fucking shirt and sleeves rolled up with pants and fucking boots on. Says we should call. We shut that door, love. Please.
I'm coming in now.
Thought they were good times, but you should enjoy them. You should enjoy them.
Did anybody go to church in the family?
Me and Pauline went to church square at St. Saviour's. My mother would do it. She made us go three times at the Sunday school. Afternoon. Church in, what you call it, at first, before I joined choir, was Sunday school in the morning, Sunday school at afternoon, she used to take us to church at night, then when we went choir, it was church in the morning, Sunday school at afternoon, and church again at night.
When she was very religious herself.
My dad never bothered.
Yeah.
My dad won't go, but she remembered at Mother's Union and Mother's Bible class and all that.
Right.
That was Sunday afternoons, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. I won a medal when I were 12 years of age. Blackburn Cathedral, this will surprise you, my neighbour. Blackburn Cathedral at, Church of England School of Music. A medal round my neck for choir. Didn't it?
I don't know, I've never seen it.
You don't remember? Not seen no force over that when you used to walk around possessions at...
No.
Harvest time, we used to walk around the streets, down Manchester Road, Frenchwood Avenue, up London Road, and back down Queen Street to St. Saviour's Church. Chariot Manor's a model.
Was that a big thing for the local community? So, you know, being involved with,
well,
with the local...
Well, it were with Protestants, yeah. Protestants had that. St. Augustine's never bothered me all like that. But, yeah, St. Saviour's Church, they used to, that was their annual procession. Round... what do you call it? Now Parish, round outskirts of Parish. You know, that's where they're right round their outskirts and then back down to church. I'm sitting there all past the afternoon. I used to hate it, Bernie. I used to hate it. When we were 14, I jacked. Couldn't stand it any longer. Walking round the streets with a frigging ruffle around my neck. No wonder I got some stick off them Catholics.
What about special occasions? As a child, bonfire night, oh. Christmas. Tell me about
bonfire night.
They tell me about
every batch had a bonfire. Parked down there at Smith's Recreation Ground at the top of Selwood Street, Corporation used to build a big bonfire. Oh, Corporation man used to come, and Corporation workers used to construct a big giant bonfire. I think they used to do the same on Paul's Pad, didn't they? But in every back you went down, there was a bonfire in the middle of the backs.
Was it Grandma that used to make that bonfire toffee?
Yeah, that treacle toffee, aye. Yeah, that's another thing they used to make. Treacle toffee, and they used to chuck a potato at the bottom of it. And you should get it out like that. Oh, black ash and cinders and a lot of tear and scran it, a lot of it, work your teeth like bridging witchy poo and everything. Christmas time were cushy. We always had a party to our house on Christmas Eve. Three fellow learnt his self piano playing. And me and my sister used to say, oh Jesus, you have to do that. Right. But he got a phone. Start at LB's, bottle of LB's, lying beer. Then they have a few whiskey and he used to lift the frigging lid up at piano. He used to start with Donald P. He said, oh Jesus Christ, he said, he's had to again, Pauline. But all relationships have come to houses. And then Boxing Day, they used to go to somebody else's house. Christmas Day spent on your own. But yeah, and you should look forward to all them. I mean, Easter. Families on that Aidenham Park. You couldn't move on Aidenham Park. There used to be thousands upon thousands of people on that park and Easter Monday rolling tree streets. And then it said, I read it the other night, one paper, but it did not, it was Daily Paper, Daily Mirror. Traditional Easter egg rolling at such and such a stately home. Preston is a tradition of Easter egg rolling. Do you know the village, I'm telling you, where we were when we were kids? My mum and dad introduced Easter egg rolling to that village. Kids used to roll their eggs down, a big hill called Cat's Hill. And they wonder what we were doing. And my mother said, well, it's a tradition of Preston. It's called Pace-Egged. That's what Easter eggs are originally called. Pace-Egged.
Where does that come from?
Pace-Egged. It's a progression. Preston tradition, isn't it? Supposed to, rolling the egg is supposed to be out rolling stone away from, you know, from tomb when he rolls again from, and all that carry on.
Right.
And that's what it was called in Preston. It started, it was called Pace-Egged. White with Pace-Egged, I thought it probably rolling that hill and running after tail of the pace like, I don't know, but that's what it's called, Pace-Egged. Preston tradition, that.
What about the eggs? Were they all...
Oh, painted them. Oh, you painted them all different colours and all that a few weeks before, or 2 or 3 days before Easter Monday. You got one or two chocolate eggs, you know what I mean? If you were lucky. Only, the nearest thing I got to a chocolate egg were boiled painted brown. But when you used to do all these different colours and watercolours on eggs, when you broke shell, it used to sink through shell, you know, and all white egg, you know, solid part of egg inside. All different colours.
We did that, didn't we, one time? Because you tried to blow all the stuff out of the egg, didn't you?
Yeah,
you
okay.
Put a pin on for it.
Yeah, but, we used to look forward to one of them. Same as in Selborne Street. All families used to walk down to park together. Top end of Selborne Street, where we lived, what we call Middle Park, with Bench Road down to Manchester Road, and top end, with Bench Road to Little Park. And all them families that were going down, they all walked down together and they all sat there together, all kids played together, you know what I mean? Nobody used to say, now don't go in them bushes, there might be some dirty men in there. You never heard about it, I suppose it was still about. But we never had to worry about something like that. Mm. Oh, it was a good thing that. Same as Christmas Eve. Instead of being in for 9 o'clock when you were kids, you didn't give a shit what time you come in. Because you used to tell me we carols singing. This is where I'm told. There were a family on the Frenchwood Avenue, Mays, the old slaughterers. Oh, they must have been sick of kids who went to the house. Of course, they were wealthy, very wealthy. And you almost got half a crown off her. And she was a lovely woman, Mrs. May. There must have been 10 lots of kids go to their house on Christmas Eve. They are love. And instead of sitting there, all we used to do is, and an happy new year! Knock, knock, knock. Merry Christmas. Well, I never heard you. Well, we were. Give us half a crown, we used to piss off. Well, he could be straining your voices, couldn't he? You won't have to see him after pork. Yeah, they were all right. They were good times. They were good times. We used to get money for pictures, you know. We used to went to paper in Watling Hill. We used to get the trolleys and we used to go to shops and get all cardboard boxes, go round to houses collecting old newspapers, take them down to paper mill, used to put them on Weybridge. And if you had a trolley full of paper, you'd get about half a crown sometimes. But night before, you should collect them night before and wet them through. So you weighed a bit heavy. And we didn't mush up paper on Weybridge. You lived in Selboy Street further down, so we never bothered. Oh, well, it's upstairs, someone's a brickman by the paper. Now go on here, clear off, and don't be coming that job again. You know what I mean? Yeah, they did it, weren't they? Yeah, they did it, weren't they?
Tell me about school. What's your earliest memory of school?
Hate. Utter detestation. From day one, I can remember the first day I went to nursery. My mother took me down James Street. We were living at the Auntie B's at the time. That house was getting ready in Selboy Street. I'll never forget it. She took me down James Street to Manchester Road, up Manchester Road, Frenchwood Avenue. And sat with me at nursery. She went, right, I'm going now, nice sweet place now. When she picked me up, I said, I'm going back there tomorrow. I don't like that place, I'm not going there. And, well, detested it. Only thing that were good about school was sports, weren't it, really? Lessons were shite.
So tell me, aside from that, tell me about the primary school. The first, you know, tell me about your the
primary school.
Yeah.
What can I say about primary school?
You didn't go, did you?
Well, I had to go there. Yeah, I couldn't nick away from there that age, could I? But my main memories of primary school is there was a teacher there at primary school, right? His name was Mr. Ellis. He's retired long time, lives at Pemberton. He's the only teacher I've ever respected in my life. He used to be a sports teacher. He used to take us for maths. And if you didn't do as you're told, he had a drumstick about 18 inches long, and he just smacked you over the fingers with that. Oh, God, it did hurt. But he was the best teacher ever in the world. I bump into him now, and I still call him Mr. Ellis, sir. Purely, and he used to say to me, my name's Jim, I said, it's never been Jim to me, it's Mr. Ellis, sir, respect me. The only teacher I've ever respected in my life.
Why?
I don't know. I think it was because he were not the same wavelength as kids. He was only a young lad when he first came to Frenchwood Junior School, primary school, what do you want to call it. Straight from university. He was only a young kid. Happened to be about 18, 19 years of age. Maybe, something like that. And before he come, when we used to go down playing football Friday afternoons, it would be a pretty woman teacher. And then this other fellow used to take us, but they didn't. But this Mr. Ellis, his football ability were brilliant. Again, obviously, what he could do with that ball, flicking it up and all this head, you know, like the modern, you know, brilliant. cricket season, used to take us for cricket. He was brilliant at cricket. He was brilliant at every sport you could think of. And all kids used to love him. He retired. I was working at Gossie's at the time, and somebody said, Mr. Ellis is retiring next Friday, you know, from Frenchwood Union. I said, you're joking. I said, is he still alive? I was only 18, crying, knew we were alive. I said, so I booked an holiday off 11, half-day holiday. And I walked into junior school, straight to the staff room where it used to be downstairs, and knocked on the door. And he said, well, come to the door. She went, can I help you? I said, yeah. I said, I've come to wish me old teacher best of luck for the future. He's retiring today. And he went, off the bump. I went in, I had a brew and I sat down, and he was telling them like he said. At sports, this lad, he said, he were good at football, he were good at cricket, and all this, Anthony said, but by God, did I give them handsome stick? And they were all looking at him thinking, what? You know what I mean? But and you know something, Bernard, of all the hundreds and, well, thousands of pupils that he taught, there only one person went to that Frenchwood school to wish him good luck when he retired. Monksy. Now, would you believe that? And I still see him every now and then in Morrison's. And it's always Mr. Ellis, sir. Sheer, just pure respect for the man.
Apart from the sport, which you obviously enjoyed tremendously, were there any subjects that you did like doing?
Metalwork, that works about. Metalwork, aye. Woodwork, I went to good at woodwork. It took me 3.5 years to make a pipe rack.
But you would only do metalwork and woodwork when you went into secondary school?
Yeah. But junior school, no, not doing out of work, doing out of light. I can't think of out of light, no.
So really, I mean, you weren't academic?
No, I weren't thick.
No.
But, you know, I just, all I wanted to do, was at 4 o'clock bell to go, get it. When we were finished leaving school, I turned around, I walked out of them gates into Selboy Street, and I turned around and I looked at that school, and I said to my mate, I will never, ever, ever walk back into that building again. That was Secondary Modern School. I will never, ever, under no circumstances, walk back into that building again. Now, when I left school, as an apprentice electrician, we had to do an elementary technical course first year before we went to tech to do our S1, S2 and City Guilds and all that. And it was at Frenchwood School. End of subject. You'll have to go, so I'm going nowhere. Wrong. So they finish up sending me to Trinity. I'm not going back through them doors for nothing. And I wouldn't do. I hate his scuba and I'm all sneaking off. Weren't I? Yeah, I would never do it. I would have to think.
So when you got to 11, you went into the secondary school, and the secondary school was next to the primary school.
Yeah.
So you went in the secondary school, and more or less from 11 to 15, you were
sick as a chocolate frog.
Right.
Yeah. Would that thick me? When I was in next school, would that thick? Me and my mate, we nicked school one day and we went swimming at Bath's. Not realising we did at air class went for swimming lessons. Hello? Hello, what are you doing in here? Oh, shit. But no, I didn't like school at all, Bernard. Hated it. When I was an apprentice electrician that finished, he tried to get me to go to day school. I won't go to day school. So they said, right, let's go to night school, go to night school. I said, you're not getting me tonight. I said, I hate it. Manager at Finney's, his name was Fred Ackert. There were two electrical classes at Finney's at night school, at technical college at night school. Ackert took one and I the other. He used to come to me, to our door, on a Wednesday night, when we were at night school. He used to knock at the door, my dad used to put me in a van. He used to drive to technical college in Corporation Street before it was university. Used to be Harris Technum. He should take me into the classroom, sit down and say to the teacher, right, okay, Fred, yeah. So, door shut, and he'd be writing down like this, and the teacher would say, see you next week, monk. You will. Straight through the door, gone. Hated it.
Why did you hate it?
I don't know. I just, I don't know. I just hated school. I just, you know. I used to nick off school when I used to go black tatty with a cater horse and a donkey and cater around London. I used to get battered for doing it, but I loved it. You know what I mean? I learnt more after school than I did in school. You know, it's, they used to say to me, you'll never get a job, you. Never get a job. I served my time as an apprentice electrician. I didn't want to do it. When I was 21, I jacked. Well, 23, I jacked and finished up working at woodyard for all my life on saw benches. But they used to say, if you don't get an education, you won't get a job. What a load of shite. In them days, you could pack up on a building site and you could have 2 and 3 jobs in a day. One, I walked from one job to another all day long if you wanted in them days. You need to be clever to get a job.
So you were 15 when you left school?
14, actually.
14?
Yeah.
Okay. You started as an apprentice electrician?
Yeah, when I was 15. I worked during school until you turned 15, so yeah, I started as apprentice electrician, yeah. And I served my apprentice for Tom Finney.
Can you remember what your first wage was?
£1.17, no, don't worry. £1.17 and 6, 11 pence 3 farthings an hour. And the first job he ever went on, when you go up Longridge Road, you go over that danger bridge. It's a school, what they built, and then just past the school was a little bungalow. They were building that bungalow, and that was the first job I went on. Yeah. It was a firm called DC Engineering when I first worked for it. I worked for them for 12 months, and we used to travel all over the place. They were subsidiary to Callan Gate, so we used to go to Derry's and stuff like that. And then my mother said to me, Dad, this is ridiculous, he's never at home. So she made my dad complain, so I packed up there, and my sister was going out with a lad called Eric Freeman. His dad worked at Emmos at St Saviour's School, big friend of Joe Finney's. So he arranged for me to go for an interview, and I got a job. He said, who's your favourite footballer? I said, Duncan Edwards. What? Everybody said, don't everybody said Tom Finney. I said, Duncan Edwards. Well, they were. Brilliant women, do you remember him? Tommy went all right, lad, but... I said, what's it with Tommy? I said, no. I said, he's all right, lad, but I said, my favourite footballer is Duncan Edwards. He asked me and I told him. I said, he's certainly not frigging Stanley Matthews. I can't stand the bastard. But then I were 16 when I started there, and I left when I was 21.
Okay. What was the wage when you left? Can you remember?
I'm not sure. Schoolman, what did I get when I was schoolman? I think we had Saturday morning. I think I took about £7.05 home, something like that, after we had a full, a 45 hour a week and a overtime Saturday morning.
Okay. So that would be around the mid 60s?
Yeah.
What about your relationship when you know, with other workers? Was that all right?
Oh, brilliant, yeah. All the lads, yeah, got on great with all the lads. And some electricians, I think, because they were cheeky bastards, you see.
Mm.
I won't keep my trap shut. So I'm always getting sent back into the shop, you know what I mean? You always just say, friggin' old monks is here again. Roy Finney, stepbrother, he sent me working with him one day. He said he went to a mill at Nelson. They were changing over from old steam machine to individual electric motors and starters that each loom were individually controlled. And they all said, he'll put you in. He said, there's no apprentice ever works with Roy Finney more than 3 months. He kicks them all into touch. 3 months, the longest anybody's ever done. I was wean when I was 16 and I was 18 and a half when I left him to go jobbing. Otherwise I'd have stopped. He used to take me home, he used to make me my tea, he's missing it. Oh, I've gone great with him. But first day I worked with him, it was different than others. You see, you're only a young lad, he's celebrating. Jack the lad round town, knocked about with Walsh, you know them. And he said to me, yeah. So, dude, I said, you can go fuck it off. Bump. No message. Smack. I thought, friggin' hell. Sat up phone, I thought, friggin' hell, who's this much? But we got on great after that, you know what I mean? I worked hard. Do you see what you call it? there used to be armoured cables. They weren't like them with plastic covering. They were armoured, old fashioned armoured cables, wire round them, lead covered. And when the electricians used to run them, they had to wait for plumbers to come and wipe the lead joints on the boxes. And Roy Finney said, "We don't wait for plumbers," he said. "I do all the wiping joint," and they were good at it. They were better than a plumber, you know. And he showed me how to do it. When I was 18, we were working at an old cloth paper mill, and he said, "Next week," he said, "there's some cables coming down that from side of that building." He said, "I want you to make some cleats. You know how to do it." He said, "I've showed you many a time. We've done it myself loads of time," he said. "You know how to do it. Crofts are going to concrete your stanchions into the floor every so often," he said. "I want you to make the brackets and everything," he said. "And there's 11 cables coming down the side of that building, alongside the lodge, and into the substation." He said, "There's 17 apprentices coming on Monday, and you're in charge, man. I want a special job doing." I said, "Right, right. Cables come through, one at a time. Tie them up to the thing we wire for time, but you know, run them." When I finished, we whitewashed, because they were all like covered in a chalk. We whitewashed all cables and then painted all brackets and everything black. And that's my claim to fame. Joe Finney said to me one day, "I want you to come here." He said, "Look at this." He said, and it, British Insulated Calendars, BICC, the monthly thing that come out, centre page, where all these cables running along lodge. And he said, "You know that, is it, corner there?" And I would hear with a spanner. He said, "Why can you not put your mind to everything instead of just that sort of work?" I said, "Joe, I don't know where it comes from, I have to glue. And I don't know what you do with it at the other end." I said, "But in between, tell me, was there anybody running it?"
So you stayed there till you were 23?
Well, I stayed there till I packed up when I was 21. The day I was 21, I jacked. Because I didn't really like being an apprentice. My dad forced me to be an apprentice electrician. I wanted to be a bricklayer. If they let me be a bricklayer, I'd have been the best in the world. But he said, because he worked outside all his life, you know, it was gruesome, weren't it? You know what I mean? We're not working in no building for a decent job and all this. So I packed up when I was 21. I did a few contracts, electrical job, you know, gangs working on big contracts and that. And then 23, I finished it all together and went working down at Woodyard. And I've been there ever since. Working on sawbeds like a lunatic, full of arthritis.
So why did you stay?
Where?
In the woodyard.
I loved it. Outside, fresh air. An old fella called Teddy Brown, God bless him, he's dead now. He showed me everything there were about that time, that type of sawing wood. And even if I do say so myself, I would have finished up the best. That's why I loved it. I loved the job. Because I knew, even though Teddy Brown said, "I can't teach you anymore now, son." He said, "What you do on that bench," he said, "is even..." Even though Walter Durr, he said, "that's done it for years," he said, "he stood back me and old Walter at times and marvelled." He said, "There's nobody can teach you how to talk." So I used to love the job, you know what I mean? Working outside, taking railway track up and all that. It was brilliant. Well, you see, we were freaking air full of sawdust when we played it on cup final. I looked like I'd just been dragged down a chimney, didn't I? Victorian chimney sweeper, lot, face black as ace of spades, full of sawdust. What did that much say? Friggin' Al Monks, he's got a quarter of an inch dandruff in his head.
Was it also the fact that you were in charge of your own destiny, as it
well,
were? People, you weren't, you know, where people weren't giving you instructions all the time?
Dick used to come out in the morning. I worked for his eldest son. First he got his new wagon, I worked for him, and then we progressed from there. We used to sit all second hand timber, demolition and stuff like that. Well, he'd come into the yard and he'd say, "Right, I want some of the fencing posts cutting today." So I used to go and find wood to cut them out of. Same as a 7x3, used to go down one side, take a 3x3 post off, and other words, denailed and used as spars, you know what I mean? 3x2s and stuff like that. Yeah, I suppose it were, yeah, and used to. Yeah, because I used to decide what we're cut and how we're cut, you know what I mean? I knew what size you had to cut. But it was me that said, "Well, we can't get it out, we have to get it out of this, we have to do this, we have to do that." And nobody argued with me, see, so I suppose it worked. It were all right, you know. You did what you told, obviously, because you were paid a wage. Boss knew, so boss were in charge, but, you know, in a friendly sort of way, you should suggest, do it my way. Which, yeah, and crap were good, Bernard. The crap were good. Do you ever know one called Barry Arnold, lived on Dodge? Well, Barry worked down there. I remember Barry coming from school. We're having a brew and a big 50-gallon drum, we up, sleep resin, blazing up like blowing red hot at the middle of winter, freezing. A tin mug full of, what do you call it? I think I had a bean can, I'm not sure, washed out. And this kid come in the yard. And Dick Chapel said to him, go stick roll, scuffed up, egg fella, then we all worked for egg fella in them days. What's after cock? Well, he said, it's got fuck all to do with you, fat bastard, piss off. And he went straight up to Walter, that was Dick's brother, who were a little bit cleaner. He said, who do I see about a job? And Walter said, that fat bastard, you've just told to piss off. And he said to him, are you any good at work? And he said, well, let's find out, won't you? Give me a child tomorrow. Come back, took him on this job at Liverpool, picking pins up in old screwed it up chairs at railway. He said, just wanted to pick them up in a bucket and chuck them up wagon. And he come back at night, he said, Jesus Christ, I found a gold mine in this kid. Sound on the dot, and he's still working down there now. Thick as a workhouse, but he like that. Isn't he? He's been there since we were 15. How old have you been now? 50, 56, something like that. He's worked on saws all his life. He can't shorten a saw. He can't shorten a chainsaw. He can't drive any vehicles, no cranes, no nothing, no forklifts. He can't deliver, he can't make a bill out. Only thing he's good at. Only difference between Barry and a JCB. JCB runs out of diesel, he doesn't.
You won't take a day off work, will you?
No.
So, how old were you when you retired?
After the knee operation, weren't you? I had a complete knee replacement.
Well, you were
60,
weren't you? Because on your 60...
I broke my ankle, I didn't. One of them telegraph poles crushed my ankle when I was 60,
you
weren't
you? Back, did you, after that?
No, after that.
Exactly 60.
There were about a second for about 40 telegraph poles. They moved and crushed me up against a stack of wood, and I broke my ankle in two places and smashed up ligaments. And I did. I went back for a rough 3 months, weren't I?
No, you didn't go back, did
no,
you?
No, I did a rough 3 months. A rough 3 months, and I went for my operation, and after that, it didn't take proper. I had to go back after 12 months and have it done again. And I thought, bollocks to it. Went off sick and got disability and so that's it, I've got it today.
Okay.
Surgeon told me, my own doctor owned for me for years, he said, you've battered your body to a pulp. It's time you packed up before you cripple yourself with arthritis. So he wrote a letter, and surgeon wrote a letter stating that Mr. Monk should no longer do any sort of work under the good work that's been done in the operating theatre. So they pension me off.
I want to return now, Arthur. I want to come back to to your childhood and then follow through to whatever. Your early adulthood and your early married life, essentially.
She knows about it.
Yeah. When you were a child, I want to discuss what you did for play as a child. What sort of games did you play?
As a kid, we'd play I don't know, Kit Kat. Have you ever played that? It would only be a ball. Somebody would run, punch it down so everybody who started, and you know, and all that carry on. We did that. As a youngster, everybody used to play hopscotch, didn't they? Everybody played that on flags, didn't they? Hopscotch, with time and all that. Ain't bad at that. We used to make, I don't know really. We used to think about in gangs with catapults and homemade crossbows and bow and arrows and, you know what I mean? I think we were freaking Robin Hood. But,
Did you play just... was it just with boys or, you know, were games mixed?
No. I didn't play with girls.
So, you know...
Only at a later age when you found out... First time I started knocking about with girls when I found out there weren't one.
So, more or less all the games that you played, you know, they were all lads games, football in the street.
Oh yeah, football, yeah. Tip it and all that. You all played that, didn't we, Bernard? Game of tip it and cricket and all that against somebody's wall. You say, I'm sick of that ball, bang it against my hand. You know, on your way and all that, like, yeah. That park at Bottom, Smith's Recreation Ground, you couldn't play football or cricket on it. There were no games allowed. It's still not notice board if you go past. Smith's Recreation Ground, no games allowed. You have a game of football, a park keeper used to come up from bowling greens and shift you. Oh, it was murder. Before you could play football, you had to wait while you shut park at 8:30 at night in Newsham Lock Gates. As we used to be over at Raymond's and playing football in police. They used to send for police, you know. And then, fancy, we used to get done for playing football in the street with police. Unbelievable, isn't it? Ridiculous, weren't it, in them days? And then you should come up back and chase us like, and they drove it railers into a convent.
Did you ever join any youth clubs?
St. Saviour's Youth Club, yeah. Oh, aye, yeah, youth club were brilliant. That one, Thursday night, I used to love playing table tennis as a kid. I won Preston under 13's table tennis championship. I have a little cup, I think, Shez had it somewhere. Sure. A little tiny cup, what I won. They used to play it, they played finally in Lancaster Road, some Methodist place it were. Next at, what's that pub in Lancaster Road? Top of Market. Do you know what I mean? Well, next corner were new office boxes now, there used to be a big church hall where it were all, the oak table tents were played in there, yeah. We should like youth club, that were people all right. We used to go camping, Alston Bottoms. We had with subs and all that, they bought four big tents. And kids could borrow them any time they wanted, you know, it's school holidays. We used to find out Alston Bottoms. Don't touch size, it's a pissing with rain. Remember when you took size at tents, you used to drop dripping in. If you didn't have a fly sheet, it was shite, weren't it? Plastic sheets off on grass. Every fella in your sleeping bag had a blanket stitched up with wool. Freezing, 3 o'clock in the morning, freezing like that. Lighting a fire, rip it from his fence down to get warm, light it for you. Phew. Pull some strokes, don't you, do I? But it were good days, Bernard.
You're always interested in sport.
Oh, yeah.
Did you join any sort of organised teams when you reached teenage years?
I weren't good enough. I had a couple of chances for Preston Schoolboys. I thought I were, but I don't know. They were a bit cliquish in them days. What did you play for Schoolboys? Well, you see, the talent that you had at your feet and you never... You know, did you ever have a trial for them? I once had a trial... On Pembroke Home, this was through Freeman, Edmonds at St Saviour's, who run youth club. We used to play cricket in the playground at night at youth. And I loved bowling. I couldn't half fucking send them down, I'll tell you. And he recommended me for trials for Lancashire Schoolboys. Right? They didn't have a Preston Schoolboys cricket team then. They started later, but... And I went down to Pembroke Home, yeah. And they rode there from grammar school to college with the whites on. And they were me with a yellow t-shirt and a pair of black skin tie fucking jeans on. Up nail boots, I don't know what they had. I tell you what they had, you remember American sneakers when they come out, had a pair of them on. And so like they're all, and they picked the team, then they're all lined up and they went, right, what's your, back, well, not really, I like that. For a school team, I go like 9 or 10, or, you know, 8, 9 or 10, not much. But I used to open bowling for Frenchwood and all this, so they made a note of it, and they said, right, I say, boy, come here. I say, yo, the snot coming down the top left, come here. So I chuck your cricket ball. So I let one or two go, like, just built up. And the other game I took 6 wickets. And this fella come up to me and he went, you know something, sonny, couldn't hard make a ball move, burning. Either way, honestly, I'm not telling a word of a lie. And he said, yes, he said, we can work on your bowling, son. Yes, definitely, he said. I didn't take care. I think I only bowled one fella clean bowled him. But they were, he said, we're caught behind. Could move that ball. And like, up there, poof, talk about fucking body line. And I could bang them down and all. And he said, yes, he said, yes, he said, we can need to. Anyway, he'd come round to the house. And I'd left school by then. And they wanted me to go to this fucking place, a cricket job and all this. And my dad said, he's getting a job. End of fucking subject, Bernard. Whenever I play for the school team, we'd lost with sports teacher in secondary morning, he jacked. Lovely fella, Mr. Lee. And this Cooperthwaite took over, maths teacher. I hated the bastard. And he didn't like me either. He hit me more time, but fucking, what you call it, you know that wooden thing, board, for washing, she might read it at the back of head, I don't know. And we're playing English matches on Moor Park. And I took 4 wickets, and I was just about, I think I was on my fourth or fifth over. And he went, our teacher were umpire, and their teacher. I've come out like that from Cooperthwaite. He went, tell me something. He said, what line and length are you taking, Monk? I said, middle and off. He said, middle and off? I said, yeah. I said, if you notice, sir, he's sarcastic. If you notice how the ball's going straight down from that middle stump and then veering off, at chest height. I said, so really, sir, you could say anything from knees up to there. If you don't get out at weights, tough luck. But same again, Bernard. They're giving it that lot. And I asked, Gusty Monk, see, that'll do for me, kid. Bump, slips, bump, reach into hands. You know what he said to me? You finish this over, Monk, and I'll make sure you never play for this team again. And I never play for the school team again until I left from leaving school. Went in for throwing cricket ball every year from junior school. You should go in for throwing cricket ball, because I love throwing things, we're always throwing. Last year, when I was 11, 10, went up for 11. Last year at junior school, I won school sports, throwing cricket ball. First year at secondary modern, throwing cricket ball. I jump, second, third. Second year, won cricket ball. Third year, and last year, I thought, I've got to win this high jump. But I used to run at it, you know what I mean, and just with speed over it all. A little leaving, metalwork teacher, I was practicing one night, he went, what are you doing here? I said, it's skilled sports, sir. I said, I've done it ever since you were a kid. I said, I've always finished second and third and all this. He went, you'll never win it jumping like that. And he showed me how to look straddle. And we worked on this, me and this leaving. You should stop behind at night, this metalwork teacher. Only a little mush, like an inflamed dwarf. So I mean, he worked honestly, but a lovely fella. He was another teacher I liked. Of course, he was smaller, but I come back to him. And he showed me how to do straddle, where you put your, run at it, you put your, lift your foot over, and you roll over the bar. So I come Preston Sports, my last year at school. And I went down to Penwood at the moment, I broke Preston Schoolboys' high jump record. I jumped 5'3½". It was unheard of in them days. Absolutely couldn't believe it. And there were a printing strike on the time, so they said, took all your names and everything, which school you went to and how you jumped and all that. And they notified your school and all this. And good Monday morning after school sports, and M. Morse gets me on stage and all that, and he said, here we are. Well, he said, I had to tell all the school that he won the high jump for Frenchwood Secondary Modern School, breaking schoolboys 5'3½" and all blah blah blah. And that certificate, when it came, was said to this Cooperthwaite, you know, the man that stopped me from playing cricket, and I never did get that certificate off him. I got my 10 yards, my 22 yards, you know, an advanced certificate, all my life saving, my bronze cross, my bronze bar and all that, bronze medallion, bronze cross, the lot. And that's the only certificate I won, and I've never got it off the bastard. And years later, I went with the trees in Fulwood, with a couple of my mates on the day time, a couple of dealing lads. And some of the lads were waiting to see this Cooperthwaite were in the company. You know, buying rounds and all this, had to come to my turn to buy it. I said to Mush behind boy, I said, yeah, I've got, we get these in. I said, can you see that sandy haired bastard at the other side of that bar there? Oh, Mush went quiet. Of course, you know what I'm like, Bernie, wasn't it? I said, can you see that sandy haired bastard over there? I said, if you get him a drink, you'll stand it yourself. I said, don't get him a drink off me, because I hate the bastard. And I'd be 23 then. I won't buy him a drink. I bought everybody round a drink, but I won't buy him one. Because when it was turned to buy it, before that, I said, I don't want that. He didn't know, I'd refused it, because he couldn't see me on the side of the bar. I said, I want a drink off that bastard.
Yeah.
I won't buy him a drink. I hated him, Bernie. Absolutely hated him. Should have killed the bastard.
So, you joined the youth club, you were interested in sport, you were good at sport, you were good at cricket, football.
I won't say good at football.
But you represented, you know. You represented your school and then you.
Oh,
when you left school, you continued playing football.
Yeah.
Tell me about. Tell me about what you did after you left school, you know. When did you start drinking, for example?
First pub we ever went in, I was 14 years of age. 14 years of age, I waited at Palladium Picture House in Cherry Street. It was called Old House at Home. Just now, I forgot what street it was now. Fitzwilliam Street, I think, or something like that. We should get half a bit of me and my mate, and two packets of Paul and to take smell away before we went home and get battered. The landlord used to say to us, you know, I'm getting that back room, keep room. See you next week, all right, lads. And then we used to come round, we used to booze a lot round here. There were two main pubs round here. There were one were called Sebastopol and one were called Allies. And we used to go in there a lot at weekends when we were 16, 17. You sat roaring fires a lot, piano, all so much on pianos. Always, every pub had a piano. And there were best pub round here in Duke Street, it was called General Lee. We were nicknamed Birdley's Arms. Bernard, you've never seen nothing like it in your life in that pub. Every rogue in Preston used to booze in that pub. You wouldn't, honest to God, you won't believe it. The stuff that went on in that pub is absolute, I can't tell you because she's here. No wonder they call it Birdless Arms. You know when you're playing Dom? You know, Margaret? Two fellas come from county offices one day and they just as they walk around, they're a tourist attraction at weekend for these town lads. We're generally have a bit of a laugh in there. Out at Chapels, who were work fair, his father and another fella called Alfie Mercer were sat at pub. They all said they were going dateless burrow. They used to make a living after selling fruit off those who cared. You know, round, up round, what you call it, Ribbleton and all round there, that were the rounds. And these fellas said, anybody interested in Don? I said, oh yeah, we'll have you a game of Don. Half a crown a corner. And I sat behind Walter, he about 15 years of age, you know. We used to win on a Friday night. Of course, he used to work down at Woodyard, and he's good oldies and that. So he said, this fellow went, and I've heard all about this pub. He said, so there's my half a crown, and there's my mate's half a crown. Now we're, so out in Sharple said, well, there's mine, and Alfie Mercer went, and there's mine. So there's four, what he calls it, there's four half a crowns up table, in the middle of the table, like that, in a line. A pegboard on top of them, right? On my kid's death, pegboard's on the top. Right in the centre of the table, big, playing away. Well, these two fellas win, didn't they? Sorry about that, lads. Picked the pegboard up, nothing. During the game, I never seen it. I said, what's happened to Portwood? I said, I had a fella touched with it before. I said, he's joking. He said, oh, are you? He said, as soon as them two started joking, I said, you know, big fat coward board, it caused a disturbance. He said, that were open on that. And when he turned round, phew, it had gone. Just like that, whap, it did done him. Well, I don't know what's happened to it. Have you all two took it? Come on, let's get out of here, that were it. Mustard. Fella in there, he said one night, he said, he was working at coal mines. This boy said, he worked at coal mines, you lying lazy bastard, he said. I went to school, he said, he lived next door to me, he said, I went to school with you. He said, you've never done a day's work in your bastard life, you lazy get. What are you talking about? He said, I've worked it, see. So, landlord were called Steeny, Jack Steeny, and they were doing, you know, out cobbles each street. They were tarmac in Duke Street, and they were builders hut across there. He said to this mush, go and rip the door off there, he said, fetch me a pickaxe. This is what mush were like. So if it comes in with pickaxe, he said to mush, right there, get under that bench up. Well, you know what bench, he went right up, wooden benches. So that's about 18 inches off of her. He said, get under there, on this side, let's see how you shape, and I'll keep blast off. Well, you know, you never heard out like in your life. That was fucking knuckles with blood drawn, not. Worked it, pity, said, get the hell out. Characters, Bernard. Characters.
So obviously, you got into, you enjoyed a drink.
Oh, yeah.
Did you go dancing, anything AD. Like that? Tell me about that.
AD?
Yeah.
There were only two places you could, there were three places mainly for dancing. AD in Lancaster Road, Public Hall, and St. Tiggs. And that were it. This was a long, long time before Top Rank opened. You remember Top Rank when it opened? AD were alright, were good, but they wouldn't sell any booze. You wouldn't sell booze at AD, you had to get a pass out. Everybody had used to go in Lancaster at, what do you call it, a crossroad, what do you call it, that pub, the crossroad. Yeah, friggin' hell. Well, you bought that pub across the road from Lancaster, like, you know what I mean? Not that corner, weren't it? You used to go in there and then you'd pass out, you used to get back into
Blackamoor.
No, that was in Lancaster Road, that's what I was on about before Blackamoor. That was in Lancaster Road. I'm talking about Lancaster Lane. Go past the Port Admiral, remember Port Admiral?
Mm-hmm.
And on. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah.
And there were a woman on statue on top of your hand over here, they used to call it Hand on. Over Walker Street and AD were just past Lancaster on left hand side, his foot stairs to it. Well, that were one of the places. And then Public Hall, that were all right at Public Hall. You could get in for out there. You used to climb up drain pipe, about 30 foot up drain pipe, and then climb through one at windows onto the top balcony. A bit dodgy if you felt like, you know what I mean? By the litre, like, you know what I mean? But. And then eggs, that were all right, sent eggs, that weren't so bad.
What sort of dancing wasn't it?
Rock and roll. Popping and stuff like that. And there were a dance hall in Tyburn Street, opposite Out Fire Station. That were called Regent, but that were rough. That's where Oak Lumber were, that. Or there was some. All the, Oak Town heavies, you know what I mean? When we were kids, we kept away from them, like they were a bit out of our class at that age, like. But that were it then, Top Rank opened.
When did you start courting with your wife? When did you meet her?
When I was about 17, 18.
Okay.
And then I got married when I was 2. I was still 20 when I got married. I've been married about 4 months on my 21st birthday. But I weren't very much. I weren't a good husband, really. I weren't very successful. I were more successful at school, as it were, than I were in marriage.
You still haven't grown up,
have you? No, well, I just wouldn't. Every time a woman smiled at me, that way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Head gone.
Okay, so we'll
bypass that. You would have to.
The
best moments of your life.
There is one thing I want to come back to, which interested me. From your childhood, or certainly from your teenage years, the piano in your home.
Yeah.
When did When did your father purchase that? When did he get it?
Yeah. Well, he bought it for our bowling, because the old she used to spoil our bowling, didn't he? You know what I mean? She was a big daughter. I think I'd be about 8 when this piano appeared. I come home from school one day and he was there, and I had a satchel and a bench with a lid on it with all this bloody black dots all over it, players, music and all this. And then I, Pauline, used to send her down Selborne Street twice a week for music lessons to a fella called Mr. Walton. He lived opposite Ribble Garages. And then my mother said to me, "And you're going to learn piano." I said, "Oh, am I?" So I went for 4 lessons and jacked. I said, "I'm not going down there anymore, that much as a lunatic." I like jumping, ding, 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 ding. I thought, bollocks of that. Sitting in there for an hour listening to that jet. I wanted to be out, me. You know what I mean, so jet.
What about your sister?
She became half decent to bowling. She kept it up for a few years. She'd be around 16, Mark, before she stopped losing it. 16, 17, before she lost it. She was quite good at it. She got quite competent. You know, she were...
Did your mum pay for them lessons?
Aye, yeah. We're 2 lesson, I think, about half a crown a lesson or something like that.
Because they kept paying for lessons and they both kept jacking, didn't they?
No, it made a jack type, all they kept going. I kept jacking, I won't go. I should spend money. Like when you used to go to Sunday school, mother used to give a threat for a collection. God's not getting this. I'm getting some frigging toppings with this and a fight.
Just going to come back again. It's a very interesting point that about your parents wanting you to learn a musical instrument. The Frenchwood as an area, from what you've said, it seems to have been very self-contained.
Oh, it were.
And a very tight-knit community, yeah, as well.
Yeah, it were.
Were there good relations with everybody, if you will? You know, and obviously there were a little bit of tension between religions, but generally speaking,
generally speaking, it were pretty good, yeah. Coronation Crescent, they were Accrington big houses, gardens at front and big backs, and big back gardens with the little garden sheds and all this crap. And they were a little bit
snobby.
Yeah, they were snobby. She thought they were. Them were them that thought they were worth 8 bob and they're only worth 4. You know what I'm saying, don't you? And because Coronation Crescent was concrete, the only place around here apart from Ribble Garage where we could use roller skates. You can't roller skates on blasted cobbles, can you? You know what I mean? Unless your name's Houdini. So all kids used to fly around there. I'm going for the police. Nobody had a phone, but they used to go to the corner of the street and ring police up. So up next minute, there were one riding down the street with cape over shouting. Have you seen them policemen's cape rolled up? Go on now, get out of it, smack. Oof. Might be in it with a club. But yeah, generally, sometimes there were lots of friction between, there were a couple of gangs at bottom there. One were Catholic, other were mixed. Me at all men, it's like it were mixed, you know what I mean? But when this lot from up here, Queen Street, ventured down there, they were all one big gang, you know what I mean? They all stuck together that sort of way, you know what I mean? Like across London Road, Bonk Gang and all that. They all stuck together, frigging Bonk Gang. They're frigging dateless kids, aren't they? Jesus Christ. You used to say, if you get caught with bong gang, they throw you lime pits. Give me a bit of lime pits at the bottom of a freaking belly's tip. Don't get caught with bong gang. They tie you up and throw you lime pits. We fainted either of the times.
How old were you?
Well, 10, 11, 12.
And you used to believe that?
Aye. Freaking right, did I?
But people tell me, from what people tell me, that there were lots of shops, there were lots of pubs that have long gone now.
Oh, yeah.
And that, you know, essentially people had more or less everything on the doorstep.
Well, yeah, let me see, in Selborne Street, round the corner, there were Cornsey's shop, back stores were a chip shop, across the road at Coronation Crescent, there were confectioners, if you will, round the bottom at Backs, there were two grocer's shops, up Bench Road, there were Co-op, Basil Deedon's Greengrocer's, Gorrell's Paper Shop, Selborne, Greyhound in London Road, up top of here there were Ally, Sevastopol, top of Manchester Road, Duke Street, Queen Street, there were one, two, three pubs on Queen Street. I mean, at one time in press, you know, you could go in a different pub every day here and not go to the same one. You know, there used to be 365 pubs in press, you know. Mm. But like, that's another thing that's changed, Bernard. Your corner shops, and your pubs, it was your community. Do you know what I mean? It was a meeting place. Where if they fell and didn't fancy going to a pub, you used to give you a jug. What it's selling out. What it's out sales. Get that filled up with Bollingtons. When they come past, you say, there's no lips in here, suck it, Frothampton. What? How do you know that? Because the bloody great all at one side. But no, kids used to queue up to go and get, what do you call it, from out sales at pub. Big jug, 2.5 pints here. Filled with helps of curry food on up. What do you want, cop? Bitch, you. Who is it? So we're allowed to play a Deutsch at Selby. Good pub. Graham was best monitor's bitter in town.
You think people were more together, more friendly? You think relationships were better?
Oh, definitely. And they were very, very, very rare. They were in your local pubs around here. I'm not saying about town, but in your local pubs, they were never trouble. They were never any, not like they were. Well, you know, you have to go up to Eskerton. You know, it used to be like that out in England, and all. Well, there weren't a lot of trouble out in England, really. We were only outsiders, of course, sitting there, but, you know, Acregate and Bellevue and all that, they were trouble spots. But when you got to the other side, you know, down to Tavern and Cod and all them, Adelaide, Cheatham's and all, they were all good pubs, them, you know. They were locals at boozing there, never caused any trouble with each other. They were all good lushers, they were all good family, you know, where you could take wife and sit down on a Saturday night and sit with your mates and you go play and have a few games of darts and look at him in there enjoying this, you know how they wish to be. Getting pissed and how many of you? Said, no, bring a pint in. Had to keep the trap shut. That's how they used to be though, Bernie. They were accepted, weren't they, in them days. Nobody bothered. And getting back to that piano business, the oldest used to say, if you can play a piano cop, they'll never be short of a pint when you go out. Every pub, fella just walk in and he come, pint on top of it. Get these in and give me another pint up, you know what I mean? And that were it. And at night, gadgets like that, bang, 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 hey, he's playing, well, then he had to play. What are we fucking playing? But fucking hell, we're flying all over the place. It was snowing one night. Well, it was that deep. The snow used to come down a lot in them days, and it was poor. And we were outside, opposite Selborne pub. Oh, there must have been 30 of us. Oh, what would it be for 2 hours? Snowballs. Piles and piles of snowballs all over the place. All up waiting for closing time. Good day, Charlie. See you tomorrow, dinner. Whap! Flying to Lushers. It's get the Pelton to be. No, what? Landlord will come out. I'll sort him out. As soon as you come out, whap, 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 he go back in. Next minute, police car be coming up the road. 11:30 at night, they come with one of them out at Lushers. Pub doors were covered in snowballs. And Guy Fawkes. They should make a fortune with Guy Fawkes. Now, kids can't. They can't. They don't go out, do they? Kiss some bastard touches from an Nissan, do they? We used to go all over the place when we were kids, like you must have done yourself. All around, what you call it, river and what you call it, like golf courses and all around there. You do, the kids don't go to that like, area now.
You didn't used to let us go
trick or treating,
did you, when we were younger?
Well, you, said, well,
you don't
know
who's
been
answered
door. Well, you don't, do you? You don't know who's waiting for these days. It's people say society's changed for best. It might have done in some ways. Standard of living's improved, but I don't think it's improved morally. It's improved morally, myself personally. And that's saying something coming from a lunatic like me, but I don't think standard morals these days are a lot worse. Standard a lot worse than what it used to be when I was a kid.
Why do you think that is?
Well, it is, aye, because, yeah.
Because you always used to tell me about if you did it wrong, your mum used to get you a belt.
Oh, she did. And in them days, same as you fell out, you know, work passing, you said to a neighbour, and he said, shut up, you silly old cow. Straight up, straight. Lily, he's done what? Where is, and she's just come looking for you, my mother. Come here, won't you? Smack right at back at Ludwig's hand. She was mussy with left hand going. I was 23 before I learned to duck. when she take these round, I'd be 30 odd. And she used to come to me in front of him and get your hair cut. Did she?
She used to slap us at back at legs with papers.
Oh, yeah, my mother, right, yeah. I loved her to bits, so these days she'd have been locked up, she'd have been doing life now, my man. Well, all mothers would. For where they, but it's just the way they were in them days, and nobody. Well, it's right, there's no discipline, is there?
You have to teach your kids a lesson if they're not doing
that. Of course you have, but there's no respect these days. And you only get respect through discipline, don't you? Really, I think you do.
And there's no authority either.
I mean, have you seen coppers? You want to see coppers that war around, do you? If I ever come home for one night and them coppers intervened, I'd stick them in my pant pockets and walk home with them. I'd put them in bins when I come round. They used to be brawn, didn't they? Nowadays, hello, what are you up to, you cheeky little boy? Well, they are, aren't they? There's one there, it's about our size of you. And as you walk round with, a woman, she's just slightly bigger. You know, what good are them? What, I mean, where's respect there when majority of kids are bigger than frigging police force? Manchester Road, used to walk around Manchester Road in fours. Not ones or twos, fours. Sticks out Saturday night, that were what were entertainment when we were kids outside Balmoral. Waiting for Irish mushies coming out freighted. Across the road were all brothels and kip houses. You're a freight, then they wait, we should look there here now, look. And pick for Manchester Road. Rough area, Bernard. Sticks wrapped round her and whap, and ooh, no messing about. Absolutely no, and not all this, you know, go for the elbows and the shoulder. Oh no, no, none of that. Smack me at the top of the head, bump, out you go. Black Mariah, no ambulance, Black Mariah. You should wake up, it's Sells Day after in Earl Street, full of blood and lot. See, coppers, them days you keep your ass. And give you, I'm talking, give you a good. Go on, get out of it, you cheeky little sod. Now get home and get your ass proper. There's none of that. And you don't go home and say, what's that? What's that big red light there? Oh, we've just been acting up. You couldn't say a copper, did you? You just get leather at your house. What's he been hitting you for? Then they start then. Then. Every time they smack you when you were kids, he used to talk, didn't they?
Did
I'm glad my mother didn't stutter. Fucking hell. Shut up, I'll give you something to cry for. Who wants something to cry for? Crazy, weren't he?
So generally speaking, you would see your childhood and then your teenage years, early adult years here as a good experience.
Oh, are you? Then, during teenage years, you went off the rails a bit, didn't you? You know what I mean? You started finding out that putting booty into somebody when you're fighting is quite normal. You know, when you were a kid, to kick somebody, oh, it's a kick of him, you know, don't fight with him. You know what I mean? Then all of a sudden you find out they could knock somebody out better with clumped head and a good bit left out, so... You know, and you just develop, didn't you? But like, you shook town and you had a gut root, you'd root somebody if you come on store. You didn't have to look over your shoulder at night after a case of coming at you like they do these days with axe, gun, knives and all this. Once you rooted somebody, they were at the end of subject, weren't they? And if they come back night after for another day, well, that's their own silly friggin' fault, isn't it? But, I've got one or two good ideas in my time. Give one or two and all, told her.
And on that basis, we will end it. Thanks very much, Charles.
So have you got what you want?